Greetings. This is Dr. Thomas Daffan talking about the coming election on June the 8th. And in this short talk, I want to address my English colleagues and friends particularly. I've recorded comments for Welsh, Scottish and Northern Ireland voters, and the English are obviously incredibly important. The majority of seats will be decided by English voters, so I think it's very important we pause and reflect on this. Although I was born in Canada and brought up partly there and lived there in my 20s, and I've also lived for 10 years in Wales and 7 years in Scotland, my parents are both English, and I've lived for 10 years in London, and I've lived in the West Midlands in Worcestershire, and I've lived in other parts of England. My mother was from Yorkshire, my father was from Warwickshire. His family go back to the Domesday Book Annex, and De La Ferne was thought to be a Norman name. Clough, my mother's name, is probably old Viking stock. So, like all English people, I'm a real mixture. And I think that's the beauty of the English character, actually, is a tolerance of diversity and plurality. The reason I think the English should be very careful about their vote is that if we vote in the wrong way, we're at danger of losing the United Kingdom. And I know there are some English nationalists who wouldn't mind that. There's not a lot of love lost between certain types of English people and the Scots, and historically the Welsh. There were wars on the frontier with Wales for many centuries. I've written the Cultural Encyclopedia of the Welsh Marches, which talks about the fact that in Shrewsbury you used to be able to shoot a Welshman on sight with a longbow. You know, these kind of attitudes go back a long way in England, and the attitude to Scotland on the borders was it was pretty uncompromising on both sides. The Scots and the English used to fight each other with gusto for centuries in the border wars. And I certainly don't want to see a return to that. The United Kingdom, which came into being in its first form as Great Britain in 1603, put a stop to the wars between the parts of Great Britain. Of course, the problem in Ireland was more complex and carried on up until recent memory, when finally the conflicts between largely English army squaddies and native Irish finally got put back in the realm of politics, which is where it belongs, and not on the streets in violence. My concern about the losing of the United Kingdom is that it would be a tragedy in terms of peace and stability in the entire island. I don't want to see a return to civil wars and conflict on the streets. And yet, if we so glibly vote in a government that is sworn to take us out of the European Union against the wishes of Northern Ireland and Scotland, I'm afraid we're going to see the breakup of the United Kingdom. That is what my fear is concerning. It's not a fear, it's an acceptance of the political reality that that is what will happen. Obviously, you can't say that 100%, but or you can only deal with probabilities in politics, and I think the strong probability is that that would happen. And I think it's not a risk worth taking. Now, I know many English voters voted for Brexit and therefore feel aggrieved if it doesn't happen immediately. But on the other hand, one takes decisions in life that, with hindsight, one reflects on and thinks, no, that was a foolish decision. You know, that decision could lead to my death. And there's no point in sticking to a decision just because you've made it, if it, with hindsight, is going to lead to the breakup of your country. It's taken a long time for this fact to dawn, I think, on people. And political intelligence is in short supply. It's not taught properly in our schools. I was head of citizenship in a couple of schools, which is effectively where you do politics. But unless you do a politics A level, it's not really covered in the syllabus. And I think that's to the detriment of the collective intelligence of our people. The level of debate during both the European referendum and subsequently, and during this general election, has been, I think, not of a high calibre. Whereas I think these issues are so important, we should think them through carefully. Anyway, I think that the diverse regions of what we call England, everything from Cornwall to Norfolk to Sussex to London to Yorkshire, you know, to County Durham and so on. I mean, I love the whole of England. I love the whole of Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. I'd really be sad to see it all break up. So, in a nutshell, I think that what we should be doing as English voters at this election is voting for a party that is 100% committed to giving the British voters as a whole a second decision in terms of Brexit. That's the key number one thing that I think confronts us as voters. The only party that there are two parties that are standing that have said that, and that's the Green Party, many of whose policies I think are great and I support, and the Liberal Democratic Party, again, many of whose policies I think are brilliant and deserve support. They've consistently argued against this reinvention of British neo-imperialism as a colonial power going off to fight at the USA's side as a kind of poodle. I think Britain has always been a power in her own right, and that we shouldn't simply be sold out to the CIA and American intelligence interests, who are fostering their own agenda, led by the neoconservatives in the Middle East. And it's deplorable that Tony Blair sold out Britain's credibility. We should have insisted on absolute hardline evidence for who did 9/11. All the evidence points to an inside job, a false flag operation. Only a few British politicians like Michael Meacher and others have actually, you know, supported that inquiry. I think there should be a very, very high level inquiry going into the depths of this whole phase of Western policy and the ratcheting up of the war on terror by the Bush regime, which Britain colluded with, should be exposed and documents released. It all goes back to 9/11, which is why I'm writing a book about it. And I think the spirit of England, actually, is one of justice and truth. And I know a lot of people who voted for Brexit are fed up with the liberal elites, as they call them. But in fact, it wasn't the liberal elites that caused this. True liberalism is about freedom. If you read Lord Acton, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. If you look at the liberals of the 19th century, if you look at John Stuart Mill and Bentham, and the authentic tradition of liberalism in Britain, if you look at Melbourne and Gladstone, you will see there's a very, very profound commitment to freedom and freedom of thought, freedom of religion, freedom of lifestyle and so on, that is very, very deep. It goes back to the Romantic movement, Shelley and Keats. These are the true standard bearers of, I think, the spirit of England at its best, Byron and so on. And that is what authentic liberalism is about. And that's what we need. We need to stand up to this false neoconservative agenda, which the Labour Party colluded in. I think it's one of the greatest scandals of our time, that Tony Blair and his cabinet, Jack Straw, I call them the Straw Men, colluded in the you know, the destruction of the reputation of Britain for independent thought. And when I was on the march against the Gulf War in 2003, I noticed the Liberal Democrats were there in force. I think they deserve support at this election because they've been a consistent anti-militarist force in British politics, and because their policies on keeping the United Kingdom together are 100% accurate and on the ball. And their policies on asking the British people very politely if they're absolutely happy with the terms of whatever can be negotiated under Brexit. I mean, I actually think if the British people look at any deal we can get from Brexit, they'll realise that it's a ridiculous deal. The best way is to stay in. I mean, I profoundly love Europe as a culture. I studied European history at the University of London. I've travelled in most European countries. I love the diversity of our classical heritage, just as did Gladstone when he left his library, the St. Daniel's Library, to the nation. He was a great classical scholar, was Gladstone, a friend of Schliemann, who discovered Troy. You know, these are great people, and we shouldn't throw away their heritage and their instinct for the survival of the liberal West It is too precious. It's fallen into the wrong hands. It's fallen into the hands of a Conservative Party that doesn't deserve the name Conservative. These are not true Conservatives. These are destructors who are blindly, in the interests of their big business cronies and big capital, happy to destroy the United Kingdom, which is a precious thing in world history, if you actually study the history of our country. Again, the history curriculum has been so dumbed down that very few people have an actual grasp of joined-up history anymore. It's a very radical thing to educate yourself. Therefore, I would say get out the history books. Look at the history of the UK. Look at the history of Scotland and England, how it used to fight these terrible wars, and then eventually, since 1603, on the whole, there have been some difficulties, but on the whole, it's kept a peaceful nation. And let's not throw it away. So I would say vote Liberal Democrat. if you can in Brighton or something, you should vote Green. But I think I sincerely hope that the people of England will rally to wisdom. I used to work in Sherwood Hall in Sherwood Forest, and the image of Robin Hood means a lot to me. I'm working on a book about his tradition. And Robin Hood was a man who believed in justice and truth, and fired the arrows of truth with absolute accuracy. We have to do the same intellectually. You have to choose your target of truth and then aim at it and release. And the problem with the world at the moment, in our country and elsewhere, is we're befuddled with confusion and lies. The world has been constructed of lies, disinformation and propaganda, so we have to reclaim the power of truth. And for that, you have to have courage and the tenacity of the great peace leaders of our time, like Gandhi and Martin Luther King. But I would put our own traditions of Robin Hood, our own resilience, you know. But the hijacking of that instinct for Brexit was a political disaster, in my opinion, because the implications are there in the breakup of the United Kingdom. And it's like a doctor welcoming a patient with a flu, and instead of giving him, you know, a flu jab or some medicine, he cuts his head off. So I think at this point, you know, from Sherwood Forest and the traditions of our love of truth as a people, we have to rethink and remember that actually we love Europe. At the end of the day, the English, the Anglo-Saxons, came from Europe. Saxony is across the Channel. The Angles came from Angeln, which is, you know, where Germany and Holland meet, part of Schleswig-Holstein. I've travelled there. The runes that the Anglo-Saxon sages used, these are a pan-North European alphabet that was used by the rune masters who understood from Odin the secrets of wisdom. You know, these Anglo-Saxon traditions, again, are amazing, priceless. They're not taught in our schools, and yet, in the Victorian era, the great Anglo-Saxon scholars like Bosworth at Oxford, producing their Anglo-Saxon's dictionary, or Tolkien using runes in Lord of the Rings, these are part of our collective wisdom as a people. Under King Alfred, they became Christianized, which is absolutely fine with me, but we should never forget our heritage was European. And we owe it to our colleagues across the Channel to make a wise choice at this election. Not least to our Celtic cousins who, you know, who've made pretty plain they like Europe, want to stay in Europe. And realise that the Celtic peoples also are pan-European people. Anyway, so look, I hope that everybody votes, the important thing for this election. But vote for wisdom, vote for truth, and vote for that accurate arrow of truth to expose the lies under which we've been suffering for too long now. This is our one chance, perhaps, to save this country and to rebuild it as a zone of peace. I know that the impetus behind Scottish nationalism is an absolute disgust for the lies and cover-ups and dissimulation and hypocrisy that goes on in politics in Westminster. Well, I share that. And that's why we have a vital decision to make sure that the Conservative Party doesn't get into power again, which in its current leadership, it's fallen into bad times. It's been hijacked by people that seem to use dishonesty as a kind of an air to breathe. We have to bring back that love of truth, and that was that's always been the work of a liberal tradition in this country, the tradition that stands for freedom and tolerance and moderation and thought and rationality, going back to Locke and the very founders of the concepts of human rights and so on. So, anyway, blessings on the election, and may the best side win.